O God, Scripture reminds us that you are with us like light scattering darkness. Be with us in the hearing of your word, that you might be revealed to us again as God with us. Help us never to use our reason against your truth, but let us see your truth and grace and glory revealed in Jesus Christ, so that we might join the angel choruses praising you and declaring glory to God in the highest and peace to God's people on earth. Amen. Well, Merry Christmas. It is the middle of the Christmas season now, or at least we're a few days in. But it's on Christmas Eve that most of us go running toward the stable in Bethlehem to take a peek at the newborn Jesus. It's on that night, usually, most of all, that our imaginations are filled with what we imagine that night would have been like. Was it cold, like it is here now that winter has arrived? What animals were there? Did they smell? And how could they not? Was the hay non-allergenic and friendly for everyone? Did the baby Jesus cry or fuss? Were there dirty diapers? How was he delivered? Did Joseph step outside the stable and wait? Was there someone else to be there with Mary? Were there enough blankets and boiling water? What did the manger really look like? Was there really poop on the floor? The shepherds heard the angels, but did anyone else? And who else was hearing this glad news? And then, sort of after Christmas Eve, that's the end of the story, right? Well, we throw the Magi in to end the story. The shepherds come and then the Magi, right? But then that's it. If we put everything away after that and we go on with our lives. So here's a picture of my son Simeon back in 2012 when he wrote out all the verses for the 12 days of Christmas. I'm showing you this picture this Sunday so you can remember it next Sunday to remind you that Christmas story is filled in with other details other than what happens in Bethlehem on Christmas Eve night. There are 12 days in which we celebrate and revel in the glory that God brings to us. In today's gospel reading, our setting begins 8 days after Jesus' birth when the Holy Family leaves Bethlehem and takes Jesus to Jerusalem. Jerusalem? 8 days later? Yeah, so few people other than Luke seem to remember Jerusalem's connection to the baby Jesus. But let's be honest, the story comes around only every third year. It's always this Sunday after Christmas, and compared to Luke's story of the birth in the manger, this one hardly gets any airtime. Plus, most of us are driving home from Grandma's house on this Sunday, so don't be alarmed if you haven't heard it or if it doesn't come immediately to mind. And honestly, it's a bit of a gruesome story. In verse 21, that was not a part of our reading, on the 8th day after his being born, Jesus is circumcised according to Jewish law and custom. And then our story begins when the time came for their purification. In ancient Israel, there were rules about celebrating Sabbath, including the necessity of being ritually clean. It's important for us to know that being in the presence of blood made any person inherently unclean. So there were rules about blood and childbirth and menstruation and other things. And following Jesus' birth, mother and baby would have been unclean, as well as anyone else who would have come in contact with them. So if Joseph was there inside, well, Joseph too. this ritual, if not literal uncleanness, called for people to be separated, to not live at home, but live in a special house outside of the town or village. And it took several weeks to complete ritual purification. In the book of Leviticus, Hebrew law indicates that when a male child is born, the woman shall be ceremonially unclean 7 days, as at the time of her menstruation, she shall be unclean. On the 8th day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. Her time of blood purification shall be 33 days. She shall not touch any holy thing or come into the sanctuary until the days of her purification are completed. If she bears a female child, she shall be unclean 2 weeks, as in her menstruation, and her time of blood purification shall be 66 days. It's not the kind of story that we're likely to follow up with and tack on to our Christmas Eve story to tell to our children, right? Too many questions. But this story involving Jerusalem brings home several important realities that are not just ritual impurities. The first is that while our world is busy with secular Christmas, with the gospel of materialism punctuated by those post-holiday Christmas sales and those return of gifts lines, and our religious Christmas story, we're keeping with religious traditions. Circumcision for the child, then the completion of ritual and ceremonial purification, then the presentation and dedication of the child Jesus at the temple, the very center of Jewish faith and tradition. So that this might actually be a story you should tell your children after all, that Mary and Joseph and Jesus are a religious family. They keep to religious traditions like going to synagogue and temple and participating in the life of faith. For us as Christians, we would think of things like baptism and Sunday worship and religious education and participating in the life of faith at church and at home and confirmation and other kinds of things. And if you're reading up in Leviticus on ritual purification rules, you'll be sure to find the rules about the proper sacrifice to be offered at a child's dedication. 2 pigeons or turtle doves are what is offered when you can't afford a sheep offering. So add giving to the list of rituals that are faithful and we're called to participate in. And notice that Mary and Joseph are presenting the offering of those who can't afford as much. So our ability to be faithful and to share isn't regulated by our net worth either. Next, as Mary and Joseph are entering the temple with baby Jesus, a man named Simeon takes Jesus in his arms and praises God out loud. He grabs the child and acts like he's seen God with us. Maybe a scary moment for parents to have their infant ripped from their arms. Simeon, who was said to be righteous and devout, and who looked forward to the time of God's victory for Israel, was led by the Holy Spirit, who had revealed that he would not die until he had seen the Messiah. Knowing nothing more, Simeon is guided by the Spirit for many years and eventually to Jesus in this story. And after a long life and a long wait, he declares that God's salvation has now been prepared in the presence of all peoples. He reminds us who Jesus really is, because at this point in the story, Jesus doesn't seem to be like any Messiah. So add to our list of virtues and values for Christ followers being guided by the Holy Spirit and declaring God's salvation and blessing people. Then finally, in 3 smallish verses, almost surely forgotten by most of us, the prophetess Anna, of great age at 84 and living in the temple, We're told she never left the temple but worshiped there with fasting and prayer day and night. She too began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Israel. Those like Simeon and Anna, who were looking for the redemption of Israel, were looking for every sign of God's intervention on Israel's behalf. They see that the world is not as it should be, and they are watching and waiting for every sign that God is present to help and to redeem the world. And they are not disappointed for their efforts, even as they have to wait much of their lifetimes for this to be revealed. So let's make ourselves a list and check it twice, not to see if we've been naughty or nice, but to see the ways God is being present in the world and that God is making a difference for us. You see, everyone thinks that they've found Jesus when they see him wrapped in swaddling clothes and he's there lying in the manger. That's the sign, right? Well, not exactly. At least not for everyone. Instead, we're being pointed to persons who follow the word and witness of the Holy Spirit, who live and expect to see God's salvation among them. Not just in Bethlehem, but among them. But for many of us, we get to Luke chapter 2, verse 20, where Mary ponders and we stop. Christmas is over. The Christmas story is over. Jesus is born. Let's just move along. It's a new year and there's nothing more to see until next year. Except that's just not what the Bible tells us. And it's not what we're called to believe either. Rather, we know it's a time when it was surely far easier in Luke's time to doubt rather than to believe. In a time when all things seemed uncertain, when God's grace and goodness in Jesus had all but disappeared. Remember that when Luke is writing his gospel, more than a half century had passed since Jesus' death and resurrection. The story of the Messiah who had come to overturn Roman rule had all but fizzled out because the Romans were still there. Not that everyone had just forgotten about it. Clearly, they hadn't. But it's easy enough for us to get ourselves unfocused, is it not? Even then, the stories of God's faithfulness for those who believed offered a different way of seeing and believing in the world. Here are Simeon and Anna to point to the time and place that God is still present among the people. Today, you and I face a similar, uncertain kind of future. We've awakened to a post-Christmas pandemic nightmare that surges on and on. We've spent 9 months, an entire pregnancy, missing out on things we valued and relationships we obviously took for granted in being able to meet up with people and share meals together and meet in one another's homes and to embrace each other. We've felt afraid. We've been angry and enraged. We've felt as if the future has been dragged out from beneath us. Been afraid of police. There's talk of martial law in the news channels and videos of civil unrest that we just can't forget. But this was the kind of world that Luke was writing to also, where people didn't know what was going to happen, and where everybody began to wonder what happened to God and God's people and this Jesus, the Messiah, who was supposed to reign forever and ever. So, family and faith, these are the days in which to be attentive, to pray, to take heart. A Savior has been born. He is right now alive in the world where we hardly know which way is up even. He has promised to rescue and lead us to a new life. Now is not the time for us to put all that away. Now is the time to go from Bethlehem to Jerusalem, to pay homage, to participate in ritual, to be faithful, to tell the good news. Now is not the time to give up hope. Now is the time to be looking and watching and waiting and seeing where God is in the world and what God is up to. Because we know the end of this story is redemption and freedom. It is not death, but resurrection. It is God's grace and love and joy that we will celebrate long after this Christmas season is over. Now to the God of all wisdom, who strengthens us according to the gospel, through Jesus Christ be all honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.